Hello, 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 everybody. It is your girl once again, Joy Has Questions, coming to you with another amazing episode. Fall is just around the river bend, so it is the last opportunity for us to, you know, get these crop tops out, make a couple of bad summer decisions, because it is definitely about to be cold. Y'all know it's coming. The guest I have on today, when I tell you, she is just as gorgeous on the inside as she is on the outside. She's giving a fierce red lip. I'm like, yes, knows that leopard goes with red. Remember that year they tried to do it with like purple? I'm like, stop it. This is not fashion rules. That's not how that works. I have one of the top makeup artists in the game. Definitely one of the preeminent ones to go to in Chicago. If you want to get a beat face and have your foundation match, shade. Right. I have Emily Umuna in with us right now, and I'm super excited. Hi, love.
Hello. It's so weird hearing you celebrate me like that, but I'm going to accept it today.
Yes.
I'm going to take that claim.
You better walk in your rawness.
That's right.
Your
Thank
bossness.
You so much. I'm so excited to be here with you.
Thank you.
I just have a good time chatting with you. So exactly.
So first and foremost, you guys, you know how I do this with the You Better Know. And because I love Emily so much, I scoured the internet to find a black first in regards to this amazing makeup game and in terms of just beauty aesthetics period, and I found Miss Bernadine Anderson. So the only thing that drove me nuts, for all the information I tried to get on her, I could not find her birth date or like her upbringing. So I'm still going to look and hopefully post it at a later date and time. But what I did find out is that she is considered the first celebrity makeup artist in the industry.
That's dope.
Period.
That's dope.
What is amazing about this woman is how in the 1960s, she kept knocking on all the studio doors, trying to break into the industry. She wound up having to sue Local 706. If anyone understands how unions go, especially in Hollywood, that is the union that you need to be accredited, to work, SAG affiliated, all that stuff. She had to sue them in order to get an opportunity, not even to be fully hired, because there were no minority makeup artists, period, within the industry. So after winning that lawsuit, she began her apprenticeship with Warner Brothers Studios. She is the last person to be given an apprenticeship with Warner Brothers. So and better understanding movie studios and how they used to work. You know, when you talk about the golden age of Hollywood, studios would basically give different contracts to up-and-comers, same thing with like Judy Garland, Ava Gardner. But they did that not only with their actors, but with everyone else. So if you were makeup, if you were behind the scenes, and you were trained like school to learn what it was or whatever your craft was that you were trying to hone, and then you would solely work with that studio. Mm. So to have your first opportunity to be with the iconic Warner Brothers,
yes,
as the first black makeup artist on studio, working with Black Stuntman's Association. She basically did the makeup for Coming to America.
I literally just watched it last night.
Right.
That's
she
what's
is
up.
Known within the industry. Also, she served as the makeup artist for Jane Fonda for 8 years, and Jane Fonda sought her out. Side note, if no one has seen Grace and Frankie,
yes, that's my jam.
Get your life. Lily Tomlinson and Jane Fonda are hilarious.
Yes.
That is one of the best shows out right now.
I need to get back to that. Yeah, that's what's up. Yeah.
Right. So in terms of just learning more about her, her makeup bag, her original makeup bag is in the Smithsonian for African American Arts and Culture in D.C. There's also various YouTube videos that you can watch on her. But the one thing that I just wanted to highlight, typically, if you have to sue into something, it makes it that much more difficult because everyone is already looking at you as kind of like you're a disruptor.
Yes.
You're messing up what we are accustomed to, what we're used to. And it's almost like what I call the equivalent of what happened when Ruby Bridges went to school. Like, all of that aggression and all that hate gets poured onto you. So to combat all of that and still say, you know what, this is my dream. And if I have to sue to get into my dream, then so be it. So, also, if you see pictures of her, mama is cut.
Yes, ma'am.
Snatched. Giving, like, seriously, Alfre Rudder. Like, she is doing it. I'm like, come on.
Joy, you better school us.
No, she's fine as hell.
Yes.
Like, even in her 80s, she is sitting here perched like Dan Carroll, who, like, still knowing a good contour. So that's who I just wanted to highlight for today.
That's what's up. You know, the one thing I like about that is, A, that sounds like a black woman knocking down doors, making sure she gets known in the game. And the other part is that she started with Jane Fonda, and you really think about it, it wasn't that she was working with someone that was a similar skin tone to hers. That's talent. Like, right. Back then, she was working with someone who was a lighter complexion to her and for so long. So if the makeup artistry in me is like, that's some big kudos right there.
Especially like, and of course, you know, the evolution of the makeup industry. I mean, now it's like more palettes and hues and, you know, different offerings to choose from. I'm like, then, I'm pretty sure you had like cardinal colors. We have our the lighter shade, either super dark, and then maybe two in the middle, and that has to work for everyone. Yes. You know, so
she was making it work.
And the fact that Jane Fonda sought her out, yes. Like,
but Jane Fonda's like that,
a
you know,
super
she's, yeah,
Jane that's Fonda a whole other... actually made a quote that I thought was so amazing and iconic, because she is a true blue, like, equal opportunity. Yes. And that's why I really I really fuck with Jane Fonda. But what she said basically is like, men are given all seasons, women are only given spring. Hmm. And that's a really powerful statement if you think about it. Like, same thing with what Michelle Obama said. Men are allowed to, you know, or she said, I wish our girls could feel as horribly as boys do and still recover from yes. it. You know, like.
We're not given that. We're not given that leeway. Yeah.
We won't let Monica Lewinsky live. And this woman had a bag line, got like, you know, standards now. She literally is always going to be held to that standard of
infamy. And known as that girl. Yes.
You know, meanwhile, yep. Ray J can be out here having a family and dressing like the last, you know, samurai with that super tight red gorilla jacket. Yeah, I'm like, no one thought about his neck region. He looked like a sausage. But we all, I just want to say, thank you, Grandma Bernadine.
Seriously.
For your efforts.
Yes.
Moving right into, so according to IG, there is a beef in the comedy universe. Oh, I don't, it's turning into like some West Side Story, like the Jets and the Sharks. I don't know whose side to be on. I'm just in here with popcorn going, well, this is funny, period.
So you legit don't have a side? You're just here to listen?
So there's so many layers at this
That's
point.
True. That's
so
very true.
Everyone who truly knows me, and what I'm talking about is this whole Cat Williams, Tiffany Haddish, now Lunel done got into it. Leslie Jones over here, yeah. You know, popping off rounds. Yeah. I'm like, shrapnel layers. Is flying yeah. in Hollywood this week with comedians. I'm like, what? Like, what is going on?
Everyone has a time. Everyone has a time today, so that's where we're at.
And I keep looking at everyone going, y'all have too much money to be sitting here, that this is a real issue for everyone. When I tell you, I would slide into the hedges like Homer Simpson and be on somebody's boat. Relax the hell out. Like,
unbothered.
Seriously, yes. It would be, where in the world is you wouldn't know where the hell I was, okay? Minding my black ass business. But getting back to it, so Cat Williams got into it with Wanda Smith at V103, and then like her husband popped up with a super soaker. Cat Williams ran into a 7-Eleven. There's issue number one. So now we have moved on from that, with Kevin Hart responding on The Breakfast Club in an interview that he did with Tiffany Haddish, saying how it's wrong for Cat Williams to say what Tiffany does not deserve because it's consistency, and she has put in the work in the 10,000 hours. My question to you is, or rather, let me back up a bit. Leslie Jones is now involved because in his, you know, firing off rounds and shots at Cat, he made the statement how Leslie Jones was put on by, like, Cat Williams, or, like, put it how he should have done more to put people in a position mm-hmm. around him.
That, yeah.
And Leslie Jones stood up and said, knocked on everyone's door, and was like, excuse me, none of you Negroes helped me to get to where I was. In fact, she brought, I forgot what his name was, she brought up, it was a white writer from SNL who actually told me I had the chops. And she also called out Kevin Hart as saying, you told me to my face I wouldn't make it.
Hmm.
I was like, well, that happened. Do you think it is insane that we still are living in an environment where black women, or just women in general, we in Chicago, you already know what it is. Like, somebody having a hypertension issue on Sunday. Let me stop. So if you hear ambulances, it's either gunshots or gangrene. Like, but when it comes down to it, do you think we still live in a society where it's that patriarchal, like, women, you know, we got our shot because of the men that backed us?
So in the makeup arts world, from what I've been exposed to, where I see that happening is that there is this, like, hidden standard that male makeup artists are better than female makeup artists. Mm-hmm. And for the longest, when I first started in my career, there was always this request for makeup artists that was a male. And A, that's feeding off of the assumption that they might be gay and understand, you know, what it's like to transform into a woman better. And they wanted that kind of experience, I'm assuming, that that male would deliver, which was so confusing to me because there are amazing makeup artists that are men, but there are also amazing makeup artists that are women.
I'm talking to one.
Neither is better than the other. So for the longest, I didn't really realize that that was, you know, that there was something wrong with that. It was very normal that, you know, it was male makeup artists was put at a higher standard than the female makeup artists. And so that's where you start to see that. And that still continues now. If you think about the industry and people who are involved in a lot of these celebrities nowadays, a lot of their makeup artists are the men. And it does not take it away from their talent. But I think there is this hidden, again, underlying, unspoken standard that a male makeup artist is just someone that they might feel like they can trust better, which is weird because, you know, as a woman, I understand the beauty of a woman.
Right.
You know, so that's where I see it evident in the makeup artistry world.
And that's crazy. Like, you're coming from it from the perspective of, like you said, the beauty industry and makeup. And then here are comedians. I still feel like I don't care if you are the first wholesale black sausage salesman, whatever. Like, it just, it still is like this question mark of like, oh, he's so authoritative, or he would look at what he's bringing right. to the table. And he is just so funny. I'm going to say this. If you don't like it, fight your mama. I have always said, I do not think Kevin Hart is funny. What I think is he is a comedic pop star.
Yes.
And he is palatable. He's sellable. And also, call a spade, he is consistent.
Yes.
And he works hard and he outworks everyone. I'm not taking that away from him. What I'm saying is, so does Leslie Jones.
Yes.
So does Monique. Monique has been blackballed.
Yep.
Like, no one will even touch her. So does Whoopi Goldberg and all these other female comedians who are hilarious, who have had to do twice as much work as their male counterparts. If Kevin Hart then had a whole ass sex scandal and still.
Yo, I forgot about that.
Right. You're allowed to forget about, and not saying like you have to continuously be held to that mistake or that dumb tweet or that dumb moment in Miami you had with a stripper, whatever. But that's the thing, like,
they're allowed to fail.
To fuck up. Let me sit here and like somebody's Facebook page. Oh, Joy Scan, look at what she did in 2006. Yes. How can we trust her? What? And that's the thing that is so frustrating, because it's like, as women, on top of everything we have to go through, you have the audacity and the unmitigated gall to now sit here and be like, we helped put you in this platform. Right. You might have been a vessel, but I'm like.
And if you think about women, when they help people, they don't need to mention that they help somebody. They just kind of do it. And if that person has that growth.
I feel like if your spirit is right.
True.
I think in this generation, especially with social media, and like, it's all about who has verified you, who has given you that platform or that clout. It's more difficult to find those authentic people who don't need that.
Right. Like, they want to be connected to whoever's up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, hey, not even trying to be funny, right? So I did an article that'll be coming out soon, and I let you know ahead of time, like, I mentioned you, you know, just because, like, that's what I feel you should do is, right. like, working professionals, no matter how big or how small the platform is. But I didn't do that out the thing of, like, yeah, girl, so you can shout me out.
Right.
Tell it. No, it literally was just like, you know, I would want someone to do that for me if I didn't sit there and did a professional service for them. That's reciprocity. That's respect. Yeah. Not, oh, she plugged, so I'm gonna tell them, like, she did my lips. Like, what? You know?
Yeah,
like,
in a plugged world.
And it's so frustrating because people would fall the fuck apart if they didn't have a blue check mark by their name.
Yes.
And I'm like,
they're selling. That's how you know it's deep. You can buy a blue check.
I've seen it on the Shade Room where people are like, buy your verification. I'm like, y'all do understand, like, there are social media equations, like true blue equations that you can sit here and do to figure out if your metrics are authentic or if they are purchased.
They don't care. And they just want that blue check.
This is a lot.
We've come down to the blue check.
Seriously. Yeah. And I'm like, have you blue checked yourself?
Seriously.
Are you over here having emotional like feedback? Next up, though, and this part, I laughed from a good, I laughed from a Nat Turner place. Like, the when I heard this story, I was hollering because I just, long story short, it barely has come out that these two white male celebrities, and I know I have to explain it because people will be like, who the hell is Tom Arnold? So Tom Arnold has been in the industry for years. He's known as being Roseanne Barr's ex-husband. I've never thought him to be funny, and I think he looks like a sack of potatoes. But that is just my opinion, okay? Someone somewhere thinks he's attractive. Mark Burnett is a super Hollywood producer. He is behind Survivor.
You always see his name at the end of those shows.
Okay. Yep. And not sharing the byline with anyone. It is Mark Burnett. Like, he don't even share with his wife. His wife is Roma Downey. I hate that woman. She like, you know how she's there, but she was on Touched by an Angel. So if y'all remember that show that used to come on CBS on Sundays with Della Reese.
But yes. Yes. Yes.
That little angel devil come through. Andrew, yeah, like that. Oh, the white gosh. Man with like the bob.
Where do you get this from? I can't.
I'm going to go home and watch a couple
I know. I was like, I haven't watched that in a while.
Touched by an Angel and Promised Land was the shit on gosh. Sunday.
So shame.
But that is Mark Burnett's wife. I say this to say, like, they are known in the industry for, like, Christian programming.
Right.
Mark Burnett choked the hell out of Tom Arnold at an Emmys after party.
Emmys.
And ain't nobody talked about it.
No.
And this, the fact that, like, even when I brought it up to you, you were like, what happened?
That's what, like, I'm saying. Like, I just found out today. Today years old when I found that out.
I hollered. Because all I can imagine is, like, Roba with that, like, stop. Oh. That all I could see was that. Or him, like, be like, I'm choking you out in the name of Jesus.
No.
That's all I envisioned, because I'm just like, how did they even
how did that
get
even happen?
How? Like, explain this to me. My only thing is this. I am an equal opportunity person when it comes to, you know, calling people out. If you are going to call Cardi B ghetto and Nicki Minaj trash, and how dare these black women embarrass themselves at this white event,
you got to call them all out.
Who? First off, half of America don't even know. And if it's coming down to money and who makes more, Mark Burnett is a gazillionaire.
Yeah.
This man is, like, wealthy on a whole nother level and super plugged within the Hollywood sphere. Where is the the gas at this
and
happening?
The
at
least
Cardi,
about it.
Cardi didn't even get her hands on Nicki. He for real choked this man out. What do you think of when it comes to, like, the double standard, Justin, period?
I mean, for the longest, anything someone, a black person does just seems louder and more disruptive, right, even though we're doing the basic things that all humans do. So there's definitely a double standard when it comes to, you know, and I'm not going to go back into, like, simple things as, like, crime, but if you really think about it, that's a whole other avenue we can get into. Mm-hmm. We're held to a different standard. You know what I mean? Because we're black, and because it might sound and look different, all of a sudden, that's worse than, I mean, this is a pure example. He actually put his hands on another individual, and that's not being talked about.
Let me tell you something. I would have been so happy if it was me. I'd have been like, I am paid for the right.
I'm good.
I'd have failed the fuck
thank
out.
Thank
you, like,
Mark.
I am free. Give
thank
me
you, Mark.
Inhaler.
Hospital, I'll everything.
I would have been, like, on the ground crying and mentally being like, Jesus works. Because I was tired of going to the office.
My big break finally.
Okay. Like, look at God showing up. And even when I think about the background of how they probably got into this, Mark Burnett also is behind the scenes, or one of the creators of The Apprentice. And then Tom Arnold has been recently in the news for the documentary doing, the Viceland piece that he's doing, criticizing the Trump administration. So it makes sense as to why it was going to be an on-site situation. But still, it's just like, I don't know if you know, Tom seemed also like the type of man that'll, I'm not touching you. And then,
yes,
like, when you smack him,
like, yep.
Then when you then smack him, it's like, you're the person that's going to get in trouble. That's the worst type of person to be around. Because it's like, he was definitely, I feel, the Nicki Minaj in this situation.
Oh my gosh. The taunter.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
answer the question, you know? And yeah. It's like, Mark is like, look, you got two more times before Jesus is going to have to come off this cross and save you. And that's clearly what happened. But I still, when I looked at it.
The double standard, though.
It's the same thing we see here. Now it's an opioid crisis. Yeah. But I'm like, I'm not even trying to be funny or to be disrespectful to my family. I had several family members go to jail over marijuana charges. Yep. Like, and do, like, time. Hard time. Yep. Like, you'd have thought they killed somebody. Yep. And it's just like, so where's their restorative justice package? Because I'm like, we were given jail options or we're hardened criminals. Now it's like, we need to embrace
them and help them out.
We do. And yes. Here's the thing.
But they all
do. We do. But that needs to be on everyone's playing, the playing field for everyone.
Yep.
Or it's like, therapy works for everybody. You know, it's, you don't go to prison to be reformed. If anything, right. You go to prison and you come out worse.
Yes. I was just going to say that.
Like, there's very few people that I've ever seen go to jail and actually come out and be like, you know what? Great experience. Right, I learned. Yeah. I really learned. Maybe Mark will be. No, he ain't going to jail.
That, you know, that will not happen. No.
He gonna show up.
No one's even talking about it.
Not even discussing it. Wow. And that's the part that, like, just cracks me up the most. Lastly, I'm going to end. This is a random. Okay. So the New York Times got Omarosa and Angela Bassett confused. And when I tell you, I sat there and I was just like, how dare you?
And too big of a platform, you're making that mistake. I mean, that's, you had one job.
Truly one job. You could have Binged it. You could have Googled it. You could have went to Alibaba. Whatever search engine tickles your fancy. Who the hell sent that up? And put that out there, especially to compare two women that are like on opposite ends of the spectrum.
Very true, yeah.
Omarosa ain't never going to a cookout again with black people. Like, we don't, I don't see, I couldn't see it for that woman through the eyes of God. Like, no. Jesus would have to threaten me with, like, if you don't act right, if you're around her, I'm never letting your edges be moisturized again.
Oh my
again.
Gosh, moisturized.
Like, it would have to be on some King Midas. Oh, like, girl. Everything I touch would have to fall apart. Angela Bassett has been giving us regalness, class,
consistently,
poise, a body, fashion, a husband, like, goals since 2000 millennia ago. Like, she is that woman. How could you confuse, though?
Seriously. All you had to do, especially nowadays, you just spoke to all the different ways you could have looked it up. And not only that, like, how disconnected are they that they can't identify the two different women, especially Angela Bassett, been in the game for so long. But there's also that lack of possible not caring, like lack of care. Just throw the name on there and then keep moving.
I'm almost at the point now where I feel I'm like, yeah, this is on purpose.
That's what, because I'm trying to avoid. I'm trying to avoid saying that.
I don't like conspiracy theories, mm-hmm. but I do, but I don't, but I do. Because I'm like, that just, it truly doesn't make any sense to me how you could sit there. First off, A and O are several letters apart. And I'm like, if y'all have got Blake Lively and Taylor Swift confused, the world would have blown the fuck up. People would have been like, how dare you? She's a part of the Me Too movement. One is married to Ryan Rent. Like, how could you? And it's just like, how could you?
Exactly. Yeah, and that happens pretty often where they mix us up like that. So
it's just willful ignorance.
That's what I'm saying. It's just like,
okay. I see what you did mm-hmm, there. Mm-hmm. You tried it. Mm-hmm. And now we're going to have to bring you back.
And she says she's taking care of it. Angela's response is like, I'm taking care of it. So then they issue that apology. You know.
That's when you hit. See, that's what I. Don't get it twisted. My man might have played a lawyer on Law & Order SVU, but we have good ones. Don't get the acting job confused with who I have on retainer.
That's
okay?
What's up.
Like, we're not that couple. I'm like, you better come
That's
through,
right.
auntie. I'm like, hit it with the cease and desist, mm-hmm. retraction, and public apology.
Yes. Yes, you took care of that.
From the editor-in-chief.
Yep.
She was like, no, handled. I want the top one.
That's right.
To say our bad. All the way goals. And we also don't give enough credit to Courtney B. Vance.
Courtney B. Vance.
Her husband.
Oh.
You are the husband of Angela Bassett. And you know what is funny? You know she dated Forest Whitaker.
Word? What was this?
This was like early on in their careers, and he dumped her. I'd have been up in Black Panther in between every tape. Like, hey, Zuri.
Remember this?
Remember me?
Did not know that.
And this body? Yeah, they dated like early on. Because that's the thing. Like, they were all like, I guess, the 80 equivalency of like, you know, how you have Gabrielle Union.
Right.
Like, all of the 90s group. They were the 80s version of it. She was like, she was friends with Courtney B for years and just didn't look at him like that.
Wow.
And I'm like, how could you not? Courtney B. Vance is fine.
He is handsome.
Like,
he is handsome. Yeah.
Seasoned?
Courtney. Yeah.
I've been like, show big ass here. I'm like, anybody looking at you, you got a nerd to have an ego. No. So that's enough of So According to IG. We're just going to end it right there. And now here's my favorite part of the show. So I have a question.
Yes.
I thoroughly, like I said before, so happy to have you on the show. Just a little bit background of how we met each other. I worked at an agency that was across the street from one of your workplaces. And when I would come in, you were always so nice to me because I wasn't into makeup at the time. Like, I was the girl that thought, sadly, bronzer went everywhere on your face.
When like, how you said, sadly.
That's not how that goes.
Yeah.
So you would always, like, help me out with, like, I just want a lip gloss or, like, something simple. Yes. But the more I got into makeup, like, I always would seek you out. So then, like, through social media, I was looking, I'm like, man, she's out here killing it, doing it. People, like, fly in to see her. She goes elsewhere. And so then it just, like, blossoms from there. Now, fast forward to when I had my first photo shoot for my website and everything.
So much fun.
It was.
That makeup was therapeutic.
It really was. Yeah. Like, I felt like I was having, like, a calming woosah moment. Like, you got this. You can do this. And lo and behold, I did. So every chance I get, I throw you on the tag. Like, she did my makeup, y'all. Look at yours done, you know.
Yes.
So definitely love you to pieces. How did this start? Because I'm just
how
like.
How did this start? So I started playing with makeup at a young age. Well, I say young age, but now I look at people who are 14, 15 year old. That's normal. They do their brows and their makeup. But I got into makeup at 14 and 15 years old. I was mad tomboy. Originally, I went and bought makeup. I literally woke up one day, walked to Walgreens, bought me some Black Opal and Posner because those were the black brands that were, you know, locally at Walgreens. And originally, I was buying makeup because I had really bad acne. And so for me, it was about masking a lot of the scars. So originally, it was for me to kind of get through a really rough patch of, like, not liking what I was looking like. So the more I started using it, my mother is definitely a person who's definitely, she's not a diva. She's definitely on the artistic side. So we always were drawing, sketching, sewing, using our hands a lot, but I didn't think that that would lead to anything. I was going to go to law school. So fast forward, friends started asking me to do makeup. I wore makeup in high school. That was not really accepted, but then later on, continued to play in it, dabbled in it when I worked at Victoria's Secret. Victoria's Secret used to have a full beauty line. Played with it there. Again, people were asking me to do it randomly. So I, again, took clients and friends. And then ended up working for Sephora and Elizabeth Arden.
Hey.
Which I'm like, they didn't have my complexion and they didn't have a lot of colors. But you got to start somewhere.
Right.
And then I worked across from the MAC Cosmetics at Water Tower. And that was the goal. I was like, I need to work at MAC. I wanted to work at MAC. Like, that was just in my mind because I knew that that was a group of women and people, I should say, who were able to express themselves. Like, they weren't shamed for wearing makeup. They weren't shamed for wearing the style that they did. And so that was where I wanted to be. And I just, that's all I kept thinking about was that once I get to MAC, that's it.
Mm-hmm.
And so
it's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory.
I mean, like, literally.
Give me the golden
that's
ticket.
That's where I wanted
Watch
to be.
Watch me work.
I didn't know how, but it just made sense. You know what I mean? And so luckily enough, I worked at the Elizabeth Arden counter. There was a manager at the MAC counter named Tanya, and she actually recruited me. And then 11 years later, I'm still there. And the one thing I will say is that being in that brand or being in the makeup industry and being with MAC has opened doors for me to meet so many other people. Because it's such a trusted brand, we are constantly flooded with, especially back in the day before there were other brands, with people who had they were celebrity status or they were status of that can connect you to celebrities or people that were more well-known. So they would know where to find a good makeup artist at MAC. Remember Flavor of Love?
Yeah.
So Flavor of Love, like season three, there was one time where someone from VH1 called the counter and was like, no, we need you to come and do the show. Back then, I didn't appreciate the opportunity, so I didn't take it on. But just to identify what the standard was for people that work for MAC Cosmetics and makeup artists, that's who you sought out, the makeup artist from MAC Cosmetics.
Right.
So word of mouth, I've just been blessed in this journey, and I'm so happy that as a young girl, as a tomboy, my parents let me play makeup because I taught myself, and we didn't have YouTube or Instagram.
Girl, you're fine. And so, even with it, I still don't know what to do. And so, I will give you a natural glow. Don't ask me about what to do with my eyes and all this other stuff. I'm like, that's cute.
Yeah. Like, a lot of mistakes. But, you know, for me, the mistakes make you better. You know, when someone says no to me and I have to correct something artistry-wise, it makes me better. I thank them for that feedback. And so, I've been just so blessed with people that it's word of mouth. Mm-hmm. And it is about the energy. People want to work with good energy.
And that's what I was about to say, what goes hand in hand. A lot of times people forget you can be super talented, but if you have a nasty disposition or demeanor, like, people will work with somebody else. So word of mouth is, what are those words that people are carrying in their mouths? Because they're either carrying something that could be your next job, or they're carrying news of, yeah, she did well, but no.
Yes.
Like, use somebody else.
One, that is the main thing I say. When people are hiring you, they are hiring your energy.
Mm-hmm.
People want to be able to trust you in such an intimate environment. And to your point, with you doing your photo shoot, it was like bringing that calm energy with me to make sure that you were ready to perform. You know what I mean? And same thing for weddings, and same thing with, I think that there's this misunderstanding for celebrities. If you're working with a celebrity client, they don't want you to be fanned out. They want you to be calm and chill and just there to do a job and give them what they need, and maybe sometime just head out when you're done, you know what I mean? And so for me, I think that is the biggest thing I tell people all the time, is that you are selling your energy. You can have amazing artistry, but if you are not bringing the right kind of professionalism and the right kind of energy, people don't want to work with you. And I've heard people say this, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so it's very important to protect your name, and for me, understand, I really love working with people.
So in terms of that, then, what you were saying, like, when you started, there was no Instagram, there was, you know, no social media. Obviously, with yours being a visual aesthetic, that is your calling card, the beauty industry. How do you feel about social media now? Like, do you think it's a gift and a curse? Because I click on one makeup tutorial. Now I'm on a rabbit hole of 40 million girls showing me how to, like, contour or how to use Fenty Beauty or whatever.
Yeah.
Or MAC. So do you think it's a blessing and a curse when you've, like, been doing this for so long to differentiate yourself, or you're just like, no, I'm good?
Well, here's the thing about me. Glad that I'm blessed with the ability to be flexible, because the old school makeup artists, a lot of them were kind of fighting with the whole social media trend, because a lot of them established themselves by learning the true way to do makeup. And what I mean is they've established themselves by going to school,
okay,
etc. Yeah. And so a lot of these makeup artists nowadays, even though I'm self-taught, I did definitely put in the work. It's easy for them just to click on a video and kind of think they understand makeup. And so there's that fight and struggle. For me as a makeup artist, I understand that this is a trend that I got to get with it or get out. And so for me, it is about, you know, understanding the algorithm, if you will, about social media and how I can be more involved and more connected.
And adaptable,
but still being true to my style.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very important as a makeup artist, or in many careers, is making sure that you're not looking at other people and thinking, oh, I got to change to adjust to them, because not everybody wants what's popular. So it's definitely one of those things that, especially for makeup brands, has definitely caused some disturbance, if you will, because now they're allowing other makeup enthusiasts decide on what makeup is best for them. And so a lot of companies were not ready for that. The company that I work for, I try to find a way to work with it, because I'm like, well, let's take the social media. Let's talk about why our products are so great, you know. Make sure that you're including everyone, as we did years ago. And so I'm glad that I'm choosing to go with the flow for social media. But as we were talking about the blue check and how important that is, it's the same thing with makeup artists. And the interesting thing is, I've taken on gigs of makeup artists who are popular who have canceled last minute or did not show. So at the end of the day,
because the sunlight was getting on me, that's ground. Like, what?
You are popular. You've got all these followers, but you can't even be consistent with your work. Like, that to me is so important. My name means more. I always say protect your name. But because they have that many followers or that standard or that level, people don't hold them accountable to that. And mm-hmm. then they're disappointed. And then here I am to pick up some of the pieces. So, yeah.
I think that's the one aspect that you bring up with social media that I find with all industries now is a true issue when you're dealing with, like, influencers. It's the fact that even if someone – I feel like sometimes it makes it easier for you not to hold yourself to that standard or to – because, like, oh, it's just one person, you know?
Yep.
And it's like, who cares? Yep. I'm popping. I got all these other people yep. that I could easily make up the slack for. And it's just like, no, but if you truly are dedicated to your brand and giving everyone that quality service for whatever it is, I don't care if you're selling jumpsuits or, you know, concealer or whatever you're yes. doing – that is a reflection of your character,
yes.
you know, your business. So that you bring up a really good point of, like, there's always someone to be like, no, I will catch all of these coins right. that you all that's clearly right. are letting fall out the sky because of your lack of work ethic.
Absolutely. Yes.
And that's a big thing.
Or I've had people who have prioritized their celebrity clientele over other bookings that they've had of people who are non-celebrities. And I'm like, everyone is special to me. Like, you know what I mean? Because the consistent coins.
I saw
coins,
my cousin, I was like, you made me feel like a celebrity.
Yay!
I
was like, that's the goal. To
she got to see my empty ass apartment because I don't like buying furniture. She was cool. Worked for me.
You know, to me, because that's like, I value my clients, all of them. And it is about, if you really think about the consistent coins, don't always come from the celebrities. You know what I mean? If you think about celebrities, have tons of hairstylists, tons of makeup artists, tons of stylists. So in order to keep busy all the time, you've got to prioritize your non-celebrity clients as well. And I call this thing quiet money. And quiet money are those clients who probably own businesses. You know, they're established. They're not on social media. They're not popular. But they will book you for their galas back to back. And they will spread the word to other people. So for me, I just enjoy and value all my clients. So that's what's important. Social media leads us to believe it's all about the celebrity client. But it's about everybody.
Let me tell you something. You can have quiet money, but bills can be loud. So yes, man, at the end of the day, you need everything to be taken care of and to respect the fact. ComEd is staying on because of everyone. Thank you for helping me.
That's facts.
So in terms of, and this is an aspect that also I think piggybacking from social media, I feel like when you're in the beauty industry, you also, whether it's hair, makeup, nails, whatever, you kind of almost turn into like a therapist, if you will, because when you're in those intimate moments, you wind up like, maybe this is the person's first date after a divorce, like whatever the situation can be that you're dealing with them. What is it? Do you ever have moments where you find yourself being like, man, this generation, you know, so beautiful on the outside, but you feel like you're almost like a doctor in a sense, like stitching people together? Because makeup also is, like you said, you started using it because it originally was covering acne, you know, acne. It can allow you to hide.
Yes. First of all, you hit on the nail. That's why it's so important about the energy, because we are therapists. People share their most intimate and private moments with us. And so again, it is about making sure that the makeup artist is someone you trust.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, this generation compared to, older generation, they're worried about the wrong things. It's crazy. Cause I get customers and clients who are in the hospital or they're waiting for someone in the hospital or someone in their family just passed and they're coming there cause they want to make themselves feel beautiful. Then I get another generation of people who are coming in to get their makeup done for some, in my opinion, some of the things that I'm like, that's not even important or valuable, but you're so obsessed with it because of what other people think about you. And so,
girl, the NBA draft party is coming. Like, can you just give me
some
content?
I'm gonna hook you up. But what they're concerned with are the wrong things, like what they value. And I'm like, yo, just lead with gratitude. I'm like, those people and those things don't matter, but it's hard to tell them that because I'm dealing with social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, social media tell them another way. But yeah, there's definitely one of those things where I want every woman to feel beautiful. It doesn't have to be a full-on beat. It could be just brows and lipstick, whatever it is. When you feel good, you know what I mean? When you look good, you feel good. But there is definitely this layer of this generation. They just are concerned with the wrong things. It's a little scary.
I think when I think about especially when I just, when I'm looking at the makeup and everything, I don't know. Like, I just never remember it being this time consuming. And now also, I am someone who casually uses it. But even sometimes, I'm like, when I'm looking at, like, just the level, even when they speed up the videos, I'm like, if you need that much coverage that you truly turn into a different person, I was always taught makeup is supposed to accentuate, enhance, you know, or thank you, enhance. My mom always said makeup is supposed to enhance the beauty I gave you. The beauty, she always said, the beauty me and God gave you. And I'm like, thanks, Linda. Yeah. Okay? Linda. But it's true, you know, in that sense. But if you drop me in a pool, I'm still going to come out relatively with the same face. Yes. Like, I'm not turning into a completely different person. Do you think it's like, it? I feel like my opinion is it's just trapped in the self-worth. I don't know what your thoughts are on that.
I mean, makeup has become transformative. Like, there was a time that I questioned my makeup artistry because I was like, the before and afters don't look so dramatic as all these other people who are posting that people love. And first, want to be clear, like, I feel like people should do whatever they want to do with the way they look, especially because at the end of the day, you'll be so wrapped up in it and life will be over. So I understand whatever makes you feel good. However, being in the makeup industry and, like, from where I began, where I was doing a lot of the trying to conceal and cover for flaws that I've had, I've learned to also learn to take care of myself and love myself more, to take care of the underneath so that I wasn't so dependent on the makeup as heavily.
The dependency.
Yeah, the dependency on it. And
is
so
what does it.
I do need my brows, don't get me wrong, and a colorful lip makes me feel amazing, but the generation wants to walk around looking like they're filtered. And
then throw the filter on top
of the filter. Yeah, and as far as the time spent doing it, I take pride in my makeup artistry. One of the things is that, in my opinion, if it takes you 2 hours to do makeup, you're in the wrong field.
Because 2 hours. Some people, is that what those speed up videos?
Some people might take 2 hours to do their makeup and give me a good like 30 minutes to do full on lashes and everything. And I'm good because time is money. But if you're a really true makeup artist, if you're on set or behind the scenes on Fashion Week or something, you don't have that much time to do it.
A fashion show is only like 10 to 12. That's what people forget. Fashion shows aren't even that long.
Yeah. So, again, those are people who enjoy the process of makeup and they're doing it, but they're leading other people to believe that they need to spend that much time doing your makeup, and no one wants to wait around for that. Like, enjoy doing it, but, like, there's just so many layers, and I think that it'll change again. We'll start to see a change again, but right now it's a lot. It's fun and artistic, but I'm not trying to be funny. I always want to know where are they going. Like, with that much, you know what I mean? With that much.
Let me tell you something.
Where are they going?
The day it takes me 2 hours to put on makeup, I better be in a casket. Oh, and something no. Like, and it won't
and
even matter.
Even take two hours. Right.
And even then, like, it better be some, like.
It's over 2 hours.
Exactly. Like, you better make me go home to my savior, like, looking beat.
Oh,
like,
my
that's
gosh,
all. Like, I don't care about that. That's the only time it's going to take 2 hours. That's insane.
2 hours. Yeah. And again, where are you going? Like, do you see those people walking around with that makeup that you see on YouTube? I don't see them. So I'm like, you know, again, it's for those who want to be artistic and kind of play in it. But there's a disconnect that you don't have to take that long realistically. If you're going to an event, it doesn't have to be that much makeup. It doesn't have to take that long.
Exactly.
In my opinion.
So in terms of, like, with you having not only having your standard or, you know, built-in clientele and your, you know, your book of business that you have done a phenomenal job of maintaining and expanding. Then you have your celebrity clients that you also do. Then you also are a preeminent makeup artist with MAC, working with them for years. Girl, how do you have a personal life? Like, and it's true. And that's the thing. Like, I love asking this, just so you know. It's not me asking this to be nosy. It's the fact that I want people to understand, like, fully what it takes and what goes into having it all, or rather I should say building your professional dreams with your personal ones.
First of all, I enjoy working. Well, and I should say not working, I enjoy being productive. Like, I enjoy working on projects. I enjoy keeping busy. I enjoy starting something and seeing it to the end and seeing the result. So for me, even when I'm freelancing, that is something that has given me the experiences of to places and to do things I probably wouldn't have done on my own. And so, like, if I'm someone flies me out somewhere, I take advantage of whatever scene I'm going to be in to also have time to enjoy for myself, but also there for work. The other part is being around like-minded people. Mm-hmm. Like, if, you know, there are some people that might be in the same industry as mine, but they have time to, like, do some more like partying, hanging out. That's not my group of people. You know what I mean? And so I find like-minded people that understand, like, this is work time. It'll definitely be last minute. I should be able to text you last minute. I love a spontaneous date and hangout. And so those are like-minded people. We're all busy, but we find ways to squeeze in personal, random, like, fun. Do I wish I would say yes to more events? Yes. I wish I had more time or had the energy to attend more events, mm-hmm. especially to network. But I think being around like-minded people so they understand, like, she's working, but she'll be free. So I'm going to keep texting her.
Right.
She's going to say yes one of these days.
No, okay. So this is me just having a fan come around. Because I'm like, you're so pretty. I'm like, how do you do, like, I know your DM's popping. Just in the sense of, like, where you got him with the... Boy, yeah. I'm focused. I'm mm-hmm. working. Go away. Like, how do you balance that part?
I do have a boo. But...
Congratulations.
This is the thing, like... It is about even in that relationship because I'm not a person that's needy mm-hmm. and neither is he. And I don't know.
What's your zodiac?
I'm a Capricorn.
Okay. Yeah. Y'all ain't needy.
Didn't know. Yeah, that's what's up. So there's a level of respect that he's seen my journey and he understands like, oh, she's going to be doing X, Y, and Z and we're going to get our hangout time in when necessary. And that's to me, that's so important. Again, like-minded when it comes mm-hmm. to that. As far as like the whole DM thing, I don't really give off the
DM vibe,
come in and talk to me, holler at me. I'm just so focused in like work and I think I give that off. Mm-hmm. And so, it's not as crazy as because I don't come off as a needy person that needs attention. And I'm not saying that that's the only people they'll reach out to, but you can tell. And I've never been the kind of person that gives that off. I give off the, you gonna respect me. And so that's what I get. But again, finding balance and a like-minded person that understands like, you know, she's working and I'm not gonna disrupt that.
I think that's something that when I even think back, the neediness for me more so is like, to be honest, I had more so work or like it was just school or yeah, I was doing other activities, but I wasn't necessarily like truly booked and like had one thing to do into the other. And now I look up, I'm like, if a text message doesn't get replied, I'm like, I truly don't care. Because I'm like, I have so much shit to do. I will forget about it. Not to be rude.
Not on purpose, but yes.
But it's like I look up and I'm like, huh, man. Yeah. This whole day gone. You know, like, but that is, I think, also a big component of it. Like when you have your own thing going, it really does help you like to streamline in terms of what's important and also what you do want to give extra time to.
Yes. And again, I think I had to like, let's say just for my group of friends, you know, when I hang out with this group of friends or these people, am I fulfilled? Mm-hmm. And so I started looking at that more and started focusing on the people that will fulfill me or give me whatever that I was needing versus just hanging out just to be hanging out.
Right.
And it's like, I can't waste that kind of time. And maybe some other people have time, but I don't. So I'd be a little bit more picky with how my time is spent and it's valuable, you know? And so streamlining your group of friends and make sure you all are on the same page is so important when you're so busy, you know?
Gotcha. Would there be anything, and this is like wrap up, would there be anything that made you go, I love Mac, it's been a great opportunity, but where do you see your brand evolving? You know, like you clearly have a beautiful established brand. Like I've never heard anyone speak, you know, ill of you, which I think also is a testament to just like
that's
that.
What's up. Right. I'm like, that's so important to me.
As you're gonna like,
I'm not perfect, but that is
let
a try.
Me know after this. Right. If someone has something to say. No, like truly, I've never heard anyone say something.
I try.
About you. So when it comes down to like the brand and everything that you're trying to build, do you see yourself evolving like still within Chicago or like where do you want the Emily Umuna brand to go?
That's a great question, especially at this moment, because I have given 11 years of my life to the brand that I work for. And so I have made the decision that this year was going to be about being more selfish and establishing myself. And the great thing about me is that I can put as much passion into the brand, my brand, as I can into myself. So it's not mm-hmm. like I will, you know, not do what's necessary for me and what my company expects me to do. But there's definitely more attention on Emily. Mm-hmm. And so this whole year, it is about being more open to opportunities. And if that means leaving Chicago for the first time in a long time, I've been okay with being like, yeah, I can do that. Like, I can see myself exploring more. You owe it to yourself. Mm-hmm. And so what you will see is, like, this, even sitting here speaking with you, is about me exposing myself more. Yay. And the more I put it out there, you know, the whole manifest thing, the more you speak on it and the more that you put it out there, more that you believe in yourself, because there's definitely a such thing as being too humble. And I was doing that for so many years. Now it's time to toot toot my horn. And so I'm focused on right now, like, putting myself out there and really centering my brand about what speaks to me more. Mm-hmm. Not comparing myself to other people, but, like, what is Emily known for? What is her thing? And so this is, like, the perfect time, and I'm putting it out there. Like, things will start to change.
Yes.
Specifically for me.
This is so oh, my God. I'll tell you why afterward. I'm okay. Like, girl, you better speak life. I'm speaking.
I'm working on that.
You and Ty got that bad. Like, in a sense, like, y'all would just sit there and, like, hone in on what the person needs. Yes. I'm like, yes. You better give me this inspiration.
Yes, yes.
But no, and that's something that I definitely, the main reason why I wanted you here was, like, your vibes, the energy that you bring, the fact that you're an open book, but, like, not in the sense of, like, attention seeking.
Yes.
And that's something that I've always, like, loved and respected, especially for you to be bomb as hell when it comes to makeup.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Thanks, too. And then, you know, I will be in now that I'm, like, trying to get more so into my whole beat.
Yes.
My face.
You come see me.
Definitely. So thank you again, love.
Thank you. So good.
Yay. Last but not least, just wanted to end my show with my usual, my motivational message. I cannot, like, when I say Emily, truly, this is the whole point of what I was going to bring up. So not only did Emily make a really good point in her interview, but Kevin Hart. Everyone was focusing on, like, his words and what he said and the fact, like, oh, Kevin going in. But when I sat back and looked at the situation, it represented something that I have always had an issue with and what I find will not help you with any brand or any, you know, progress that you are trying to make with yourself professionally. You have got to couple your consistency with letting people know about that consistency. When you are someone, though, maybe you are that person that is more so behind the scenes, and it is just based in the fact that you don't want to come off like humble bragging or like, look what I accomplished. But at the end of the day, when it comes to that saying, if a tree falls in the forest and no one's around, did it make a sound? The answer for me has always been no, because it's like someone needs to hear the noise. Someone needs to know what is being done. If whether you believe in God or if you don't believe, if you can be an atheist listening to my show, I don't care. But whatever your faith-based or whatever drives you, you have got to be okay with other people knowing about that talent that is inside of you. Mm. That's the only way that you are going to progress and move forward. And also when it comes to word of mouth, if I don't know what the hell you're doing, there is so many people in industries everywhere that are known as that preeminent, and they may not even be the best, but what they were the best at was marketing themselves and letting other people know what the fuck they were doing. So at the end of the day, you can't necessarily be upset when you're sitting here, necessarily maybe you have a product or a service or a social commentary or whatever, when someone else got there and put in the work and let other people know about the work that they were doing. Closed mouths do not get fed.
Speaking
in every different situation. And there's nothing wrong with also when you were speaking, saying, I got here because of this person, that person, God, whatever, like those cornerstones of your foundation that got you in that position. But please be okay and get more comfortable with opening your mouth. Hmm. Because when Kevin Hart said Cat Williams had the shot, he was that guy. He stopped being consistent. He stopped showing up to promos. He stopped doing the things that are what people rely on you when you were trying to get sponsorship, when you're trying to get that next opportunity, when you're trying to get more people that buzz, you know, as everyone says. Those are the things that will be your biggest downfall. If you don't have consistency, or if you have consistency and then are not confident in yourself to tell anyone about it, or to go out and network, or to sit here and stay up all night doing emails, or to level set or to check in, it will be your biggest downfall before you can even get your brand off the ground. Hmm. So, as much as I love Kat and Pimp Chronicles and this shit right here, like, I forever will be iconic, But let's be more like Kevin this week and a little less like Kat in the sense of let's be more vocal about what we're doing, coupled with the hard work we're putting into it. And let's not fuck it up or be our own biggest downfall.
Yes.
I want everyone to have an amazing week. And I'm not even bringing up 45 no more. Like, I do whatever. I'm just like, nope, you're not getting
Don't
this from
me.
Seriously. The clock's like, 2 more years, man. That's it. If I can just focus. We're almost in 2019. Like, we're good.
We made it.
Okay. Like, every year I'm like, two more. Let's go.
Oh my gosh.
But yes, I hope everyone has an amazing week. You know, let's start to bring out our winter clothes and start having conversations with our dry cleaners. I'm tired of seeing people come out with them wrinkly ass windbreakers because you let fall sneak up on you and you didn't want to adequately iron your clothes. So that being said, have a great week, everybody. And I'll catch you later. Bye.